Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. You're about to hear a real compelling story from World War II. Tomorrow is the anniversary of D-Day. Art Witnick is a Vietnam War veteran, author and Connecticut resident, and good friend of this show. Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, before you tell us the story, I just want to get some perspective here. You grew up in the 60s, and in the 60s, we had assassinations, right? You had the president assassinated.
Right.
Potentially a future president assassinated, Martin Luther King assassinated,
yep.
Malcolm X assassinated. You had the civil rights movement. You had the Vietnam War protests. Did it feel the same or worse then than it does now?
I think today it feels worse for me today, because now that I'm older, I can reflect back on that. It was also 50, 60 years ago. So time does heal a lot of wounds. So with this all starting all over again, I'm very saddened by what's going on today. You know, the protests are fine, but all the destruction and the call for defunding the police and the looting and the ransacking, that really, really bothers me.
No, but living through the 60s and just seeing the chaos, I'm thinking people that lived in the 60s felt much like people that were living during World War II, like, wow, our way of life might be over right now.
Yeah.
As things look like they're unraveling here, I mean, it kind of felt like that in the 60s, right? That things might never get back?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Between COVID and the protests, and we're all looking for normalcy.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
Maybe it's never going to be normal.
Hmm. Well, only time will tell.
Right. And maybe a little bit of a change or a lot of change will be good. So tomorrow is the anniversary of D-Day, and you have a personal connection to that. Even though you served in the Vietnam War, thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Tell us about this.
Okay, my father and his siblings were living on a farm in the 1930s and 40s when the war broke out. So he had two brothers, Harry and Henry. And so one of the sons had to stay behind and take care of the farm. And my two uncles decided that they would go and my father would stay behind. So Harry joined the Army and served in North Africa, and Henry joined the Navy. And he was stationed in Great Britain. And he actually took part in the D-Day landings. He was on a troop supply ship that ferried ground troops and supplies across the English Channel to Omaha Beach in Normandy. So he got to witness the most brutal battle of all during the D-Day invasion.
Man.
So what had happened is initially the invasion was supposed to take place in late May. And because of weather conditions and other and supply issues, it was delayed. But on the evening of June 5th, they set sail across the channel, you know, under the cover of darkness, and headed across the channel and got within the Normandy, you know, within sight of the Normandy beach around daybreak. There was thousands of ships involved with this operation.
Thousands.
Wow.
I think it was just under 7,000 ships. We're talking every single boat, you know, even the small boats, the battleships, the troop carriers, and
everything.
So as they got close to shore, you know, they're still a couple miles offshore. There was this massive naval bombardment. All the battleships, which came in first, just start pounding away at the Normandy beach to soften up the German defenses. In the meantime, my uncle, he was part of he was a deckhand, and he was helping to offload all these troops onto these little boats known as Higgins boats. Each boat held like 35 guys. So
these would be the boats that we saw at the beginning of Saving Private Ryan.
Exactly.
Okay.
They're very shallow draft boats. The only way out of this boat is through when they open that big door in the front. Which made these guys targets. You know, as soon as they dropped that ramp,
yeah,
the German gunners were sitting up there just waiting for that door to open.
Like sitting ducks, yeah.
Yeah. So my uncle helped offload these guys onto these boats. And on the way over, you know, I wouldn't say he made friends with the guys, but everybody always says, hey, where are you from? You know, I'm from Connecticut. What kind of car do you drive? Anybody here married? You know, that kind of stuff. So there's just that idle chit-chat. So you become kind of connected with these guys. And so they put them in these boats, and once everybody was off the boats or off the ship and heading to shore, the naval bombardment stopped, and these guys started their assault. In the meantime, the ship, because it had supplies on it, was inching its way towards the shore, because once a beachhead was established, they would have to resupply the guys with ammo and whatever else they needed. So my uncle and his buddies were on the deck looking through the binoculars, watching. I mean, how many opportunities do you have to watch a major assault from a distance, from a safe distance? So they're watching this going on. And as they're watching, they say, geez, they can see those obstacles that the Germans had, those metal hedgehogs. They can see those from a distance.
Those big X's, yeah.
And then they're starting to see all these lumps on the beach and a lot of debris in the water. At the same time, they're looking, as the waves are coming in, the ocean waves, instead of a white foam, they see this pink foam. And they're thinking, wow, I wonder what kind of sand is on that beach. And then all of a sudden, it all hit them all at once. Wait a minute, those lumps in the water and those lumps on the beach, those are bodies. And that pink foam we see, that's blood. These guys are getting massacred right on the beach. So at the same time, the captain of the ship must have realized the same thing and ordered everybody below deck that didn't have to be on deck and also turned the ship back some distance away so nobody could watch what was going on the beach, because what was happening was devastating. So my uncle and his buddies, they're sitting there and thinking, geez, you know, only an hour or two ago, we were joking with these guys, wishing them good luck, and what we did is we sent them off to their death. So they became very emotional. A couple of them started sobbing that they had taken part in this, even though they were ordered to do it. But to witness that from even though it was from a distance, it was very, very demoralizing.
That is not something you ever forget.
No.
And I don't think all of us realize how many people were lost that day and
well,
for that.
There's the estimates. I don't have exact numbers, but for the initial invasion on the 6th of June, over 10,000 men were killed, wounded, or missing. And these include roughly 6,000 Americans, almost 3,000 British, and another 1,000 Canadians. But just on Omaha Beach, over 2,400 Americans were killed, wounded, or missing. So, and that's in a couple-hour period. That's like a small town disappearing.
Yeah. Would your uncle talk about it or didn't want to talk about it?
Well, my uncle has been deceased. But he died a few years ago. But I was at a family picnic one day, and I just said to him, hey, Henry, you know, I understand you were in the Navy in World War II. Could you, you know, what'd you do? And he looked at me kind of funny. He says, if you really want to know, I'll tell you. And he told me this story. And it just stuck with me because I just couldn't imagine the feeling they had helping these guys get on these boats, and then most of them are dead within a few hours.
Yeah. Well, I think it's striking to me that your uncle was involved in D-Day and you were right on the hill climbing Hamburger Hill in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And,
well, I think that's why he felt I think that's why he felt he could tell me, because you know, we both witnessed the carnage of war. You know, I had the very unfortunate, but the people I saw get killed were up close and personal, where he saw it from a distance, but he saw it on a bigger scale.
Right.
So I think he felt, without saying the words, that, you know, anybody who witnessed combat deaths, they have the same reaction and the same emotions.
Well, thanks for sharing that story, and thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you, Art.
Well, I want to thank you guys for having me and allowing me to tell this story. That's a, you know, it's a 75-year-old or 76-year-old story, but it's still it's important that people remember.
Exactly.
Art's book, Nonsense, is an amazing book available on Amazon, and it's something I think we should all read. Thank you, Art.
Oh, thank you.